really doesn't belong, and well, this is not a recommendation that we would make.
Yeah, Joe Waldron. So just to clarify that point, you're not necessarily limiting this to an IDN GTLD or CCTLD, but you would really want to have the support of name servers that are using a IDN TLD accepted in any of the GTLDs or CCTLDs, the ones existing today. So in .com, we would want to be able to support an IDN GTLD, the IDN extension part in the GTLD, as well as the second level string, right? I mean, so you want to fully internationalize the name server name, and it wouldn't be limited to just the TLDs. I mean, we have in .com, we have .de and .uk, .us. I mean, so that you have name server names used in that registry for .com today that span a large number of other registries.
Right. I mean, that's the idea. But again, it is just one of the possibilities to promote this concept that there are different aspects in your system. Even for TLD operators ourselves, we might sort of forget that we actually have systems that might need to be updated to support universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. So feel free to jump in if you have questions. But these are the two policy related ones that we came up with. Oh, Andrew, please.
So I don't want to horn in here if it's out of order. But I do have a question. I mean, does this group have a feeling about publicsuffix.org and the fact that there's another entity out there that isn't ICANN that is publishing a list that says, well, no, these are the real TLDs?
So I move on to the next slide, which is this is exactly the topic, which is which organizations should ICANN work with on the issue and how we should identify it. And public suffix, this is one of them that we have identified. I mean, Wikipedia has a very popular TLD list as well. A lot of reference, it's referenced quite a lot. So it's really a question to the community, and whether the ICANN community think these efforts, I mean, they were created definitely in good faith, but as we add new TLDs, especially new IDN TLDs, because IDN TLDs include both CCTLDs and GTLDs, what are the types of things we should do? Should ICANN have a liaison with the public suffix list, for example, is definitely one of the questions.
Or, you could sponsor the drafting of an internet draft that was titled publicsuffix.org considered harmful because of the way that operates. But perhaps I'm showing my bias here. I do want to encourage you, though, to think hard about the implications of somebody publishing what they claim to be an operation. I mean, the Wikipedia case is interesting, but it's informational, right? But the publicsuffix.org claims to be an authoritative source of data by which you should make operational decisions in your software. And I would suggest that there is a serious sort of techno-policy issue there that needs to be confronted.
Patrick?
Personally, I do not understand how strong text the Internet Architecture Board has to write for people to draw that conclusion that Andrew just explained. So I don't understand why the discussion is taking place in this room in the first place.
Okay. I guess the reason why it's taken place is because the public suffix list is quite broadly being used at this point, and it does affect the user experience and the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Mozilla, Firefox, and Google Chrome is using it.
In that case, I think the answer to the question is that ICANN should contact those people that actually use that and ask them why they're doing it.
that's could be a good, you know, a recommendation that might come out as a recommendation from the group. At this point, we're identifying the issues and asking the questions. So, and thank you for the input. I think that Steve,
Jonathan Frakes, who I think was part of the Mozilla project, is posting some comments on the Adobe chat room. I'm just quoting him. He says the public suffix was originally initially created to help to identify the apex of a cookie. There's a distinct misunderstanding of what that voluntary public suffix project is. It exists in the absence of any other compilation that held a metapent and a comprehensive list. Competent comprehensive list. So I'm just reading out his comments.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Jonathan, for the intervention. In fact, Jonathan actively participates in this discussion as well, and has helped us identify the list. And you know, I think it's definitely an issue that should be talked about, and we'd like to get more input from the community about how ICANN should interact with it. And so I think it definitely was created out of good faith, and you know, it's doing some good work there. But you know, how it interacts with ICANN policies and ICANN community is something that should be discussed. Patrick.
Yeah, what I now heard Steve saying, Patrick Feltram here, is that there is a service that is missing for the route that we all believe in. And in that case, that I think is something that should be explored.
Sorry, you mean a service from the route?
What I heard was that publicsuffix.org is providing a service that the browser vendors cannot find anywhere else. So I think what I hear already during these 4 minutes, when I've been confused and now less confused, is that a little bit more investigation has been done why this is going on, instead of running to conclusions a little bit too fast that maybe I read between the lines on the slides.
Right. So these are more questions than trying to have answers at this point. And one of that's a good feedback that you know, there may be some services that the root or IANA or ICANN could provide. You know, and the reason why there's the public suffix list might be there's a void of that service. So. Running short in time, so I'll keep pushing ahead. So these are I just elaborating on, you know, what organizations and how we interact with them, and then the third area is what areas ICANN and the ICANN community can prioritize their efforts on, influence like browsers, DNS lookup tools, network infrastructure, network management, security tools, registries, registrar systems. You know, where? How should we prioritize? What else should be included? This is a stock taking from the working group, but are there other areas that we should look into? And of course, what types of output ICANN should focus on, like the repository, which SSAC has recommended but was never quite put together, a repository of known compatibility issues with different software or infrastructure, and how to coordinate and maintain the work. These are the questions that we want to put out to the community and get more feedback before the group considers recommendations. So with that, I wonder if anyone has any questions on... This is the state of which the initial report for universal acceptance of IDN TLDs is at. We've, you know, identified the four areas and basically... elaborated a little bit more on it, and now looking to ask the community about what further you know, what did we miss anything before we consider the recommendations? Any thoughts? Carrie?
This might just because I've not been paying attention, but are all of these items in the initial JIG mandate, or are we spilling out into new territory post the date of our actual conclusion?
Well, the JIG identified three areas of common interest between CCTLD and GTLDs, one of which is universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. So these are all part of the discussion on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs.
But at this point, you're just embroidering that concept as you think might be worth our consideration, right?
Correct. Okay. Hearing no questions, I'll move on to the next topic, which is single character IDN TLDs. We had some discussion in our conference calls about this. We know that there was a board resolution. Just want to let you know those who weren't fully aware of the work. In early last year, we had an initial report went out for public comments, and then a summary of that, and then we drafted a final report towards the end of last year, 2010. We eventually published the final report. We passed it over to the GNSO and the CCNSO councils, both of which approved the report to be sent to the board, and eventually, so the final report was sent to the board with recommendations to allow single-character IDN TLDs. So in August, the board made a resolution on single-character IDN TLDs, requesting more advice from the SSAC, more advice from the GAC, more advice from the ALAC. I was sort of wondering whether we should add RSAC to it too, since we are listing all the advisory committees. But some further information from them, and to direct staff to consult with additional knowledgeable parties on the subject. And the fifth one is a particular one that I think in the working group we had some further discussion on, is to basically put off the implementation of single character IDN TLDs after the first round, the first GTLD application round. And also, this is one item, and the other item being in conclusion of IDN CCTLD policy work, so basically tying together IDN GTLDs and IDN CCTLDs. So in terms of next steps, one of the things that we talked about in the group is to, of course, continue to follow up with staff on the implementation of the recommendations from the group, and also to consider drafting a response to the board resolution. Just before I go further in that, we also had a discussion of if we do draft something, we would probably pass it back to the two councils, the CCNSO and the GNSO councils, for them to consider acting on any kind of response or statement. And this seems to be the right approach, because we are chartered by the two councils, and we're not chartered to create statements directly back to the board resolution. So a couple of areas that we think is important perhaps to point out, one of which there was a pretty long rationale on the resolution of why some of the things were resolved. One area was not, there wasn't a rationale provided on why the delegation of single-character IDN TLDs will be made after the first round. There was no particular rationale there. Perhaps we'd like to ask the board for some clarification of why it specifically says, after the first round. The other one is both the GNSO and the CCNSO has pretty much repeatedly stated that each of the IDN CCTLD and IDN GTLD should go in their own pace. And one shouldn't have to wait for the other. the board resolution changed that, specifically saying that anything would have to wait for the CCTLD policy work to be done, IDN TLD. So that's a in conflict of what some of the stated CCNSO and GNSO principles were. So I guess these are two areas that perhaps we are considering to draft something for ask board for in a way reconsideration and some rationale on their resolution. I see that Chuck has wanted to add.
Thanks, Edmund. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I might very well be, but I thought the board's rationale for that motion was one of the weakest I've ever seen. I think you ought to ask them to give a rationale that really makes sense. And now, if somebody is aware of rationale that's better than what they said, I'd welcome to hear it. But this thing has been looked at for years, going clear back to the reserve name working group and the GNSO PDP for new GTLDs. And every answer has come up the same, and they say, let's kick it down the road again. Again, I'm open to hearing a rationale that makes sense, but that was a waste of my time reading it unless I missed something.
Thank you, Chuck. And I'd like to say I somewhat
remain your neutrality as chair, co-chair.
James, please.
I'd like to support Chuck on this. I think this issue has been trashed again and again from 2007 to now. That's 4 years. And the fact that board resolution can still came back with such rationale of consulting almost every possible group and support organization and advisory committee within the ICANN is ridiculous to me. That is what we have public consultation for, and this issue has been in public consultation for again and again, at least 3 times in the last 5 years. If that's a board resolution, I think there's something seriously wrong with the rationale behind it. And if that is a staff recommendation, then I'd like to talk to the staff who drafted that resolution.
Well, at this point, it is a board resolution. Whether it was drafted by the staff, I'm sure most of the resolutions are drafted by the staff. But do I hear more volunteers to help me draft a response that is perhaps stronger from this group? I wonder if Avery wants to weigh in on this point as well.
No, I'm sorry I'm late, but I was just catching up with what topic you were actually talking, but it was finally explained to me what topic. I could probably volunteer to help you, but I'm leaving soon, tomorrow, but I can help you if that's what you were looking for me to say.
I think it's, at least I'm not hearing anyone objecting to us responding, first of all. I'd like to get a sense of, we had a very brief discussion during the call that, this should go back to the council and the council should send it to the board. Does anyone feel think that this is the right process to go about?
I think you have to do that because they're your charting organizations. But obviously, time is of the essence on this thing too. So the sooner you get it back to them, the more likely they can respond.
Okay. So I guess for us, the target would be to Dennis. Just quickly, the target would try to be the meeting right after the car for the GNSO at least, and then we'll try to look at the CCNSO council calendar as well, and probably the meeting after to present it and present a motion for the two councils to consider. So, Dennis
Jennings, I regret that I haven't read the rationale, so I can't comment on the rationale, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And I will now, having heard the heat in the discussion, I will read it. and see whether I might venture an opinion. But I wanted to comment on reconsideration. That's just a very formal process. And the only grounds for reconsideration, as I understood it, and I went through two reconsiderations when I was on the board, so I may not remember correctly, but it seems the only grounds for reconsideration is that the board did not consider material that it had or should have had at the time. And therefore, reconsideration is a very weak way of challenging. It isn't a challenge unless there is the board did not consider information it should have had. And that probably doesn't apply in this situation. So I'm suggesting that reconsideration may not be in any way an avenue, and you may have to look at other avenues. That's my only point. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. I think that's a good point. I think I was using reconsideration in a broader context rather than, but that's a good point. I'll try not to use that word and describe it another way.
Just another point, maybe to make it more clearly say there is the opportunity for the JIC to update the CC community on Tuesday, on Wednesday, with the working group of updates. If you want to raise this and have support through the CCNSO Council, it might be useful to raise this point already at the CCTLD meeting itself.
Thank you, Bart. Jane and I will certainly bring this up.
Chuck, and probably you should do it in the GNSO meeting on Wednesday as well. Hopefully there will be a session at a point in time where that could be brought up there, at least to give them a heads up. And, you know, it could be, I appreciate Dennis's input on the reconsideration, and he's more than likely right on that. He's looked at that pretty closely in a couple cases. But it could be a simple matter of asking them to please provide a rationale that provides some rationale. Sorry for the redundancy, but I don't think it did.
Thank you, Chuck. And we did have, VI now, so. Carrie.
Since the core of this is procedure, if the JIG, which is designated by the two SOs, is going to be referring something back to them, is this group quorate? I mean, I'm looking around the table. It's a lot of interest. But is this the JIG that's going to be reporting to the front office?
Right. Before we send any documents, at least previously, before we send any initial report or a final report, before we publish anything, we would make sure that it's quorate. Right now, there's five official members from GNSO and five official members from CCNSO. And so, 10-person. But observers and, participants are absolutely welcome. Okay. So I think we have 5 minutes left for the third item that we wanted to cover. We do have some next steps on single character IDN TLDs. So IDN variant TLDs, just to update everyone, so we initially started down the work. We created a couple of initial, drafting the initial report, and then work was suspended because there was a board resolution on the subject, and which led to the creation of the IDN VIP. We restarted work in Cartagena, not so much working on the draft, but working on liaising with the IDN VIP study teams and having observers on the IDN VIP study teams, as well as now working into being an observer on the IDN VIP coordination team. So this is the progress, and I guess when we start to consider next steps, and one of the things that the group will continue to participate in the IDN VIP work, I think, as they go through the process. And the other one is, I think it might be time, once we get the initial report for the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs out, the idea is to come back and talk about the IDN variant issue and consider the case reports and also identify, you know, take a look at the reports so far and take a look at the GNSO and CCNSO policy recommendations so far. On the G side, of course, the IDN working group that was formed for the new GTLD process, and see if there are any changes in the policy that is required or policy implementation recommendations would suffice. So the reason for that work, I guess, is to identify whether, you know, policy work needs to be done at the GNSO and it needs to throw back to the GNSO, and we could start getting that together. If, you know, we think that the original IDM working group and the GNSO recommendations for new GTLDs already suffice, then, you know, we could look into what implementation recommendations should be made. I don't know if at this point, sorry, I'm putting you on the table, Dennis, but if you want to add anything in terms of the VIP work.
Well, there was a presentation earlier today in a public session, which I hope many of you got to. And because we're short of time, let me just highlight a few things, if I may. The six case studies reports are out for public comment, and the public comment closes on the 14th of November. So I think that's the first suggestion I would make to you, that this is the way you can add significant value by reviewing those issues that are identified and commenting on them. Secondly, the coordination team has been formed and met on Saturday, Edmund, as you said, and there's an integrated issues report, a consolidated report of the 16 case studies is the target for publication for comment on the 15th of December. It's actually a pretty short amount of time. When we try and look at the issues there and see whether there are common issues or special issues and how we frame that as a single issues report. The idea is that will go out for public comment. Comments will be back, the report revised, and available in time for the ICANN board meeting in Costa Rica. We are beginning to discuss a third phase, which we're tentatively calling the implementation phase, or the, well, I don't know if that's the right word, implementation advisory phase or whatever it is. And at this stage, we don't know how much technical work or policy work is required in order to implement any recommendations for implementation that will come up. So we don't have any sense yet of the timeline for completion of that third phase. At one level, it might be null. It might say, look, there are only technical problems to be looked at. There are only policy problems. And we'll suspend this until we have some policy input. At the other level, it might be much clearer what the implementation paths are, and we might be able to make recommendations much, much more quickly. But I just don't know at this point.
Thank you, Dennis. Chuck?
Sure. I'm going to try to tie the last two topics together here and ask a question. Is there any indication, and it may be too early to fully determine, that there are any variant issues with single character IDN TLDs? Because if there are, that's okay, because there's already a procedure for handling. If there are, then you defer it until the solutions are provided. People could apply, but they wouldn't be issued or something like that. But anyway, go ahead, Carrie.
If there are, in the sense that we initially been using the term, then they will definitely manifest it in a single character space. I mean, the discussion has been, can we do this variant thing by comparing one chord point with another? And people have said, not really, because the issues are, there are also issues that attach to full labels compared with each other. But if a label and a character are identical, then any issues that anybody might find are going to come slamming straight into the single character TLD space.
But there's already a plan for handling those if there are, so you wouldn't necessarily conclude from that you needed to delay them till the second round or something like that. It could be handled like other variant issues,
I
right?
I conclude that it would probably be strategically ill-advised to raise that aspect of the question. If we're looking for a straight answer to what we think is a straight question, what you're doing is making the question less straightforward, the issue less straightforward, and that will require investigation. So,
and I think you're right there. I was more asking that internally so that we have we anticipate anything that might occur there.
Dennis?
I think the guidebook is quite clear. If there are variants, if there's a claim for variants, then they will be noted and reserved. So if there's a character, single character asked for, and there's a variant of that character or a set of variants of that character, they'll be noted and blocked and reserved, but not allocated to the requester. That's the current position. And therefore, we were right into the variant issues, because that may not make any sense for the applicant, or it might make sense.
So on this topic, I just want to make clear that the variant issues is not, there's no special variant issue specific for single character. So whether it's single character, two characters, 10 characters, we have variant issues. So that makes it two separate items for discussion. With that, I think we're at the top of the hour, which is a few minutes over. Wonder if anyone has any additional thing to add. If not, I'll close this session. And all those who are participating, you know, feel free to just send myself or Jane an email, and we definitely welcome participants and observers from around the community. Okay. Thank you.